Where were you when the real good shepherd got hold of you? Look where you were, and look where you would have been had amazing grace, how sweet the sound, not reached down and touched you where you are and pulled you out of a horrible pit.
Welcome to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire, founder and senior pastor of the exciting Turning Point Church in Fort Worth, Texas. Pastor Jeff brings you powerful biblical messages, along with practical applications that can help you grow in your personal walk with Jesus Christ. So stay tuned and be challenged, be encouraged, and be transformed by the power of the Word of God. Welcome to another edition of Life Talk. Today, Pastor Jeff will show us a whole new way to look at one of the most popular chapters in the book of Psalms in a series we're calling The Shepherd, a study of the 23rd Psalm. This is sure to be an eye-opening study, so stay with us. Here's Pastor Jeff to introduce the first message.
Without question, Psalms 23 is the most quoted psalm and one of the best-known passages in the entire Bible. While it's commonly used in the context of death and it's quoted regularly at, you know, funeral services, Psalms 23 is not a psalm to die by, but it's really actually a psalm to live by. It supremely maps out for us a beautiful picture of the Christian's walk with our great shepherd of the sheep. Its opening declaration, "The Lord is my shepherd," sets the stage for everything that will follow. Our Lord protects and guides us. He rules over our life as we in turn surrender to His will. He is good, He loves us, and will lay down His life to protect us from danger. So, grab your Bible and follow along as we open the very first message in our series on the 23rd Psalm, entitled, "The Journey Begins."
Tonight, we're going to look at the 23rd Psalm, one verse a night, and you're going to see how rich this psalm is. But before we do, I want us to read the whole psalm out loud together. It's only six verses. So I want us to have it where we've got this thing memorized by the time we're done with this series. Amen? So I want you to read it. Everybody, read it out loud with me. There it is right up there. "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Amen. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, "The Lord is your shepherd." Now, just a little bit of background. I like to do this when I start a series, give you just a little heads up on just some orientation of this particular psalm. It is without question the most quoted psalm and one of the best known passages in the entire Bible. You could go up to almost anybody and say, "Where did the Lord is my shepherd come from?" And they would tell you Psalms 23. It's commonly used in the context of death, and it's quoted regularly at funeral services. I use it all the time when I'm presiding over a funeral service. But you know what? Psalms 23 is really actually not a psalm to die by. It's a psalm to live by. It supremely maps out for us a beautiful picture of the Christian walk with our great shepherd of the sheep. Now notice its opening declaration, "The Lord is my shepherd," sets the stage for everything that's going to follow. Our Lord, your Lord, my Lord, protects us, guides us. He's our shepherd. He rules over our life as we in turn surrender to His will. He is good. He loves us. And He will lay down His life to protect us from danger. And He did lay down His life to protect us from danger. David is the author, and David was a shepherd himself. Therefore, the 23rd Psalm was written from the experiential viewpoint of one who was intimately familiar with caring for sheep. He knew exactly what he was talking about. This psalm is not theoretical. This psalm is experiential. This is David talking out of the crucible of his own experience and comparing what he understood in his own shepherding real sheep and God's shepherding of us. And he's drawing a parallel. Each verse brings some genuine knowledge of what it was to herd real sheep, care for them, protect them, and guide them. You know, it's not a compliment that God calls us sheep. Can I say that again? It's not really a compliment. Now, God loves me. God loves you. But it's not a compliment because sheep's middle name is D-U-M-B. Now, I'm pointing to me as I point to you, but it is not by mistake that God calls us sheep, the sheep of his pasture, because we tend to be, in many different ways, D-U-M-B. You can have a real high IQ and do D-U-M-B things. Amen? You can look great on the outside and still go do D-U-M-B things. You can come to church, hallelujah, praise the Lord, kumbaya, and walk right out and do something D-U-M-B. Some of us did something D-U-M-B today, some yesterday, but it's no revelation to us if we're honest. You know, if you ever wonder how to humble yourself, just say, remember self, you are a sheep. Therefore, you do D-U-M-B things. Now, when we first meet David in the Bible, it's as a young shepherd. He's called out of the field. You know, Samuel, the great prophet, has showed up at Jesse, David's father's house, and he has come on a mission. He's going to anoint the next king. He looks at all of David's brothers. They're all tall, handsome, outstanding, athletic, impressive, and he is certain by the look of his eye, by the judgment of his natural eye, that one of these boys is the future king. And it's an ixnay on every one of them until they're all done and there's no one left. And Samuel has to say, is there anyone else? And almost with apology, Jesse says, well, there's one more. He's out in the field shepherding sheep. Samuel said, go get him. And as soon as David walked in, the Holy Ghost said to Samuel, that's the one. Who did God pick? A shepherd. He picked a shepherd. We also know from David's own testimony that he had twice laid his life on the line when the flock was attacked by both a lion and a bear, both of which David killed in very dramatic fashion, miraculously, by anointing. He grabbed them by the beard and literally slew them with his bare hands. Now, how you do that, I don't know, except the anointing of God is on you. Okay? And, of course, those victories prepared him for the Goliath who was to come. But the bottom line is, David was a type of Christ who willingly laid his life down for his lambs. I don't know how many of us, if we were watching over some sheep and a bear comes walking out of the wilderness and starts to attack them, I don't know how many of us would go, you know what? I'm going to attack that bear and put my life on the line to save those little lambs. I don't know that any of us would put our life on the line, put us at risk of being chewed up alive just to save a sheep, a dumb one. But he did. And that's how he was Christ-like, type of Christ in the Old Testament. So it is this real life shepherd, shepherd king of Israel, who pens the most famous psalm in the Bible and one of the most beloved poems in the world. Probably the best known poem in the whole world is the 23rd Psalm. So let's begin with the very first five words. They are easy. Say it with me again. Are you ready? The Lord is my shepherd. Now I want us to brag a little bit. Instead of just saying, the Lord is my shepherd, I want us to say, the Lord is my shepherd. Can we do it? One, two, three. The Lord is my shepherd. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He's just not a shepherd out there, but the Lord is mine. He's my shepherd, and I'm proud of him. Amen? Now, the Hebrew word that David uses for Lord here, the Lord is my shepherd, is Jehovah. In the Psalms, Jehovah is often spoken of as the shepherd of Israel and Israel as his flock. The prophet Isaiah beautifully describes Jehovah's shepherding care for the returning exiles in Isaiah 40, verse 11. He says he will feed his flock, the returning exiles. Isn't that something? His flock, like a shepherd. They were in exile because they had been in sin. But when he's bringing them back to retake Jerusalem and build the walls and the temple and everything else, what does God call them? You're my flock. God forgave them, brought them back into the fold. You're my flock. And then he says he will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arm. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with young. And that's our God. Amen. Amen. Jacob speaks of the God who shepherded me. The title of shepherd is also applied to Bible rulers, and in particular to David and to the future king, Jesus, of whom David, as I've already said tonight, was a type. He was a type of Christ. And remember when Jesus referred to himself as a shepherd? Now, he referred to himself as many things. I'm the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am this. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. He identified himself with many adjectives, but one of them was, I'm the good shepherd. And how do you know I'm a good shepherd? Because the good shepherd will give his life for the sheep. The good shepherd will lay his life down. The hireling who doesn't care for the sheep will flee when there's danger. But the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. And that's how you know he's good. Now we notice in the opening verse, the Lord is my shepherd, that David is not speaking as a shepherd, but as a sheep, as one of the flock. The Lord is my shepherd. Yes, I'm a shepherd. I shepherd sheep. And if he wrote this when he had become king of Israel, then I'm the shepherd of the nation. But guess what? When I come to you, Lord, no. I'm just a sheep and you're my shepherd. He speaks with a strong sense of pride and admiration that I just brought out to you. The Lord is my shepherd. He's not just a shepherd, but he's mine. He almost seems to be saying, look at my shepherd. Isn't he incredible? Isn't he awesome? Isn't he wonderful? Amen? And I wonder if that's how we do Jesus when we're out there in public. Because if you put David out there, he would have said, the Lord is my shepherd. I'm not ashamed to own him. I'm not ashamed to confess him. He's my shepherd. He's my shepherd. My shepherd. Now we're going to glean from what this psalm really teaches us about real shepherding and real sheep. David knew by experience that a sheep's well-being depended entirely on who his shepherd was. Some shepherds were kind and gentle, fed their sheep faithfully, cared for their safety. David had observed that under the owner, a sheep would either flourish or starve, struggle or rest, be safe or fall to wild animals. It all depended on the owner. All depended on the shepherd. All depended on who they were submitted to, but particularly who owned them. Who owned them? We see in this opening verse that while all the universe is at our Lord's beck and call, his focus is on the sheep of his pasture, and that means you and me. His focus is on us. Do you believe that? Well, if you believe that the Lord is your shepherd, then you believe that, because a real shepherd always has his eye peeled on his sheep. He's always watching those sheep. And so if you believe that he is your shepherd, and that when a man is a shepherd, even the man will keep his eye on the sheep at all times, lest a predator come and take them away, or they fall into some hole or whatever. He's always watching them, then how much more and how much better does God always watch us? Listen, I'm so glad to know that my God has insomnia every night. He watches while I'm sleeping, he's watching. Amen? While I'm sleeping, he's watching me and he's watching you. Are you thankful for that? Give the Lord praise tonight. Come on. And when you stop and think about it, among all the adjectives with which God has named himself in the Bible, he's chosen shepherd to be one of them. The Lord is my real, true, genuine, watchful, caring, providing, protecting shepherd. He really is. Think with me for a minute. On the cross, Jesus gave his life. Why? Why did he give his life? So that we might come under his benevolent care. He knew that we were under a cruel taskmaster. Listen, everybody, the devil. He's a cruel taskmaster. He's a cruel owner. He actually owned us until the Lord purchased us out of his control and power. But he owned us. And before we knew Jesus, I ask you tonight, were you under a cruel taskmaster or what? Did the consequences of sin ever make your life better? When you were following what the devil wanted you to do, was the devil good to you ever in any way, shape, or form? No, no. Where were you when the real good shepherd got hold of you? Look where you were. And look where you would have been had amazing grace, how sweet the sound, not reached down and touched you where you are and pulled you out of a horrible pit. So literally, Jesus gave his very life to deliver us from such a cruel tyrant that he might shepherd us. This is what I'm wanting us to really get a grip on as we go through this series. That every day that we wake up, there's a shepherd waiting to lead us. All through the day, that shepherd wants to guide us. All through our week, he wants his rod and staff to comfort us. He wants to lead us to pastures of tender grass. He wants to lead us to streams and brooks of clear, clean, pure Holy Ghost water. He's our shepherd. Now, Isaiah painted all of humanity in shepherd's terms, as we've mentioned already tonight. Listen to how Isaiah describes humanity. All we like sheep. What do? Like sheep. We went astray. Nobody has to help us go astray. We go astray very well on our own, thank you. Nobody has to come and help us go astray. We just go astray. We've turned everyone to whose way? His way? Whose way? Our own way. Our own way. So we go astray in our own way. So what are we inclined to do as DUMB sheep? We are inclined to stray away from the shepherd and to pursue our own route, our own path, our own way, our own desires, our own inclinations, our own compulsions. Right? I mean, look, you get us out of church for 3 months, out of the Word of God for 3 months, and out of prayer for 3 months, I guarantee you, most everybody in here, including this guy, would somehow or another already be straying. Because we don't naturally go towards him, we naturally stray from him. And that's what makes us DUMB sheep, right? Now he says, we've turned everyone to his own way, and that is why the Lord had to lay on him the iniquity of us all, because we had all gone astray. We were all chasing our own way. And there is a way that seems right to the natural eyes of man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So the ways that we go naturally when we stray are the ways of death. Isaiah points here to one of the main reasons we human beings are compared to sheep. Like sheep, we are fearful, we're timid, we're stubborn, and often stupid in our decision making. And we have also perverse habits that bring destruction to our lives, do we not? Oh yeah, left to ourselves, we'll start the drinking or we'll start the drugging or we'll start whatever, get you hooked or messes your life up and brings destruction. That's what we do as natural DUMB sheep. Stupid in our decision making. When was the last time you said to yourself, well, that was a stupid decision? Come on, in the last 3 months, did you say that to yourself? Come on, I'm not going to go any closer than that. I don't want to embarrass you. But don't we? Even when we know the right thing, we know what the Word of God says. I was dealing with somebody this week who had been straying. And I was talking with them at Starbucks, where the anointing of God always rests. Okay. And I was, and they were talking to me about their life, and they were saying, oh, I want Jesus. And oh yeah, I'm a Christian. I said, really? But then you went and you did. And I reiterated to them what they'd already told me. And I said, was it God's will for you to go do that? Well, probably not. They're sipping their coffee, and I could tell what they're thinking. Did I really set this meeting up? And so then I said, so it wasn't God's will. No, probably wasn't. And I said, well, but you knew the right thing, right? Because you know the verse, because I told you the Bible verses before you went and did this D-U-M-B thing. And they said, yeah, you did. And no, it was wrong. I said, why'd you go and do it? I don't know. That's what that D-U-M-B sheep say. When you say, why'd you do that wrong thing? I don't know. You got me? I don't know. I know. You're a D-U-M-B sheep, and so am I. And we will naturally wander. That's what it's telling us. Isaiah, we go astray, and we turn to our own way, and that's when we get into trouble. So spiritual maturity is, and I was telling this person this, I asked them, I said, can the Bible tell you what to do? And they said, well, sure. What do you mean by that? And I said, what I mean is, Jesus is Lord, and if he's Lord, then he gave us an instruction manual how to live. And that instruction manual tells us how to live morally, ethically, philosophically, theologically, financially, in all the ways that pertains to life. The instruction manual tells us how to live. So I ask you again, can the Bible tell you what to do? When you know what it has said to you, do you let it tell you what to do? Because that's how you submit to the Lordship of Christ, when you submit to the authority of the Word. I didn't mean to meddle, because how many times have I gone off and done dumb D-U-M-B things? More than I would ever want you to know. You wouldn't come to church if you knew how many D-U-M-B things I've done. And isn't it hard when you do D-U-M-B things and then you get those consequences, and you know you can't say the devil made me do it because it was you doing a D-U-M-B thing. And so you got to own it. And so anyway, me and this person at the Starbucks had a really good talk, about 2 hours. And they sent me an email the next day showing me what brand new Bible plan they had gotten on to go through the Bible in a year every day. And I said, good. Because that's the instruction manual for living. And when you know you're a D-U-M-B sheep and you know you need an instruction manual, you grab that Bible and say, teach me today, lead me today, because I'm a D-U-M-B sheep. Right? And I need help. Well, this is going to go over big on the radio, I can tell right now. So the entirety of Psalms 23 describes how our own good shepherd spares no pains to see to our welfare. Let's look at a few of these descriptions, just a few. First, a shepherd in David's time, watch this, this is powerful. And I'm sure in our day still, always marked his own sheep by cutting into their ear with his own distinctive mark. This is where the phrase earmark comes from. He would take each sheep, lay her ear on a wooden block, and then cut deeply into it with the razor edge of the knife. There was pain for both the shepherd and the sheep. But watch this. From their mutual suffering, an indelible, lifelong mark of ownership was made that could never be taken away. Now follow me. This is powerful truth for you and me. Once this mark of ownership was cut into one of their ears, the shepherd could tell from a distance which one was his and which one was not.
We hope you enjoyed today's message from Pastor Jeff. If you happen to miss part of this broadcast, or if you want to listen to this message again, you can do so by visiting our website at lifetalkradio.us. That's lifetalkradio.us. From there, you will have access to plenty of resources available to you. You can download and listen to our daily podcast messages to start your day off right and encourage you throughout the day. You can also get full access to current and previous Life Talk radio broadcasts and catch up on any sermons that you have missed. To get a copy of today's message or this entire sermon series, Give us a call toll-free at 877-884-3111. That's 877-884-3111. Our friendly staff will be standing by to assist you and even offer you a special discounted price so you can get your own copy of your favorite sermon series from Pastor Jeff. This is our way of thanking you for your unwavering support of Life Talk. Once again, the number is 877-884-3111 or visit our website at lifetalkradio.us for more information. You've been listening to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. Join us again next time as we continue the message, The Journey Begins, in this life-changing series called The Shepherd, a study of the 23rd Psalm. Thank you for listening today. We look forward to being with you again on our next Life Talk broadcast. Until next time, may God richly bless you.